I'm just so glad that God's made this so easy for us. He has made this walk in Him easy. This life of a believer is easy. And our mindset, we've got to keep it in line with what the Word says. It's easy. It's easy. I know years past, you know, when Jim and I would work together in prayer school, you know, he was the boss and he bossed me around all the time. And I submitted like a good little girl. But I remember many times, like he has said, we didn't know what we were doing at the beginning for sure. And I had to always say this to myself, this is easy. This is easy. And when I kept saying that, guess what happened?
It would be easy.
And I would just talk about, man, you know, man, the things of the Spirit are easy. It's easy to do this because it's the way God made us. God made us to operate in Him, to live in the Spirit, to operate out of our relationship with Him. And sometimes I think we get so much teaching, so much teaching, so much teaching that it boggles us. And then we've got to try to figure out how to make it work. Because then we've got so many different things going on in our soul, you know, and me being raised Pentecost, you know, we had preaching all the time and not a lot of line upon line teaching. That didn't happen for me till I was 18 and I went to Rhema. And I was like, wow, you can know that much about the B-I-B-L-E? Wow. And, you know, and then revelation began to come to me through the Word and it was wonderful. But I've always been very simple. And you know what? I'm okay. Shouldn't you be okay in your own house, in your own clothes? You know what I'm saying? Where it's just the more simple it is, the better I like it. To me, it's black or white. There's no gray areas, you know. Just tell me how you want it. Okay, then that's how to be, you know. And, you know, you don't have to break it down to me. You know, I married a man that can be very detailed. And I'm detailed in administration. But when it comes to my relationship with God, I'm just so, hey. Because in my relationship with my husband, guess what I am? Hey, you know. I'm not all boggled up trying to figure out, do I love him? Do I not? Do I love him? Do I not? Does he hear me? Does he hear me? Does he hear me? Does he not? You know, does he love me? Oh, I don't ever go down those roads, you know, because it's a relationship, you know, and I can read him. How many of you women know how to read your husband? And then sometimes they'll throw one on you and you're like, oh. But most of the time, you know, and you husbands, you know, can read your wives usually pretty well because there'll be times that I think I'm hiding something and Jerry will be like, what's going on with you? I go, what do you mean? He goes, what are you thinking about? Or, you know, what's happened, you know? And I'll think that I'm just doing such a good job, but he knows me, you know? And you know, that's how it should be with God. That easy. And for me, it's always been easy, but what was difficult for me is when I was at Rhema as a student in 84 and 85, I remember watching Brother Hagin flow in the Spirit, and I watched him and listened to all of his stories. And as a kid, I was real shy when I was a student, but I would just sit on the edge of my seat spiritually, and I'd be like, I'm going to do that. Because he would tell a story, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And then he would flow in the Spirit or something, and then I'd go, I don't know if I'll ever be able to do that. I don't know if I could do that. Oh, that seems so hard. That just seems, oh, I'm just not spiritual enough for that. I'm just not there. And I went down this road of feeling inadequate and unable to, even though Dad taught it, you do this, I, in my head, my mindset was still off. And because of my mindset and my thinking, even though I had a relationship with the Lord, filled with the Spirit, saved at six, filled with the Spirit at six, same night, had a great experience in God, and I've lived my life in God with just 2 weeks of sin that I thought I was sinning, and that's when I was in high school, and I went to a private Christian school, and I mean, my life of sin consisted of listening to rock music and cussing. That was my life of sin. And, I just was like, I'm going to hell in a handbasket because of these things. And I'll never forget it. We were having a revival in our school, and oh my, the altar call was given. And before I knew it, man, I was down in the front, oh God, and rededicated my life to Him. And I mean, I've just lived my life in God all my whole life, you know, except those 2 weeks of rock and roll and cussing, you know what I'm saying? And it's funny how we think, you know, but anyway, but just living my life in Him in church and growing up, it was just easy, you know. Even as a kid, people would come to me and say, Leanne, I need help. I need help. What do you think God's saying about this? And as a little kid, I would just be like, blah, 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 you know. And I just always would just speak out of my relationship with God. I just loved God so much. In our Pentecostal church, we also lived with a heart of consecration to God. You know, you just consecrated all the time. You know what that means, where you just lay your life down. And you say, Father, I don't want anything but your will. So as a child, I was raised that way. And so I just knew my life is not my own, it's His. But not everybody was raised that way. And you have to get in the Word, you know, and realize, you know, look at the life of Jesus and the life that He lived for His Father and how that He was willing to come down as the Son of Man and to this earth and pay the price that He did. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, He could have called on thousands, a legion of angels, you know, get me out of this. But He didn't. Because He knew that the will of His Father had to be done. How many of you want to do nothing but the will of God? Amen? But growing up with that mentality, you know, I just want to do the will of God. I just want to do the will of God. I say yes, Lord, yes. We used to sing it all the time. To your will and to your ways. I say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. Because when your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Yeah. Ray's singing that song. Went to Rhema singing that song. Sang through prayer school singing that song. Helping the students get their hearts connected and looking towards heaven. I'm going to say yes to the will of God. But guys, the moment you got born again, God Himself came in. His relationship. I love how Dad used to teach us about how that your relationship with God, your prayer life is your relationship with God. It's your relationship. Like I was saying earlier, my husband knows me. I know him. And he knows when I'm happy, sad, mad, glad. I know when he's walking through something, he can look completely normal. But even the knowing of the Holy Ghost on the inside will alarm me about things. Honey, what's going on? He'd be, what do you mean? I'm happy. Uh-huh. What's going on? How many of you are like that? You know, you'll just pick up on things. You know, so many times we're led by the Spirit of God and we don't recognize that we are. We think it's just us. We are so Spirit-led, and sometimes we're not even aware that we're being Spirit-led because we let our heads get involved like I used to, and I would think, this is too difficult. This is too hard. If you're called to be in a particular place, then you are graced to be in that place and operate in the highest authority that God has given you to operate in that place. Praise the Lord. What do you think that meant? It means quit speaking and talking and thinking, well, I've never been able. You know, when somebody says to me, oh, that can't happen, you know what that does to me? It makes me rise up. Oh, I'll show you. Uh-huh. Part of that got put in me from my dad, though, because my dad, he put so much confidence in all of us kids that we thought we could do anything. You know, I remember when all my family moved out. I was a Rhema grad, had moved home, and then they all moved out to Oklahoma and left me in Indiana. And I lived in the house that my dad had built and stuff, and they were going to come back for the holidays, and I decided I'm going to redecorate everything. And I had one of my close friends from that I grew up with. She was living at the house with me at the time, and she told me, she goes, I don't know why you're trying to do this. You're not ever going to get this done. And it was the next morning they were driving through the night, they were showing up. And I mean, when she said that, it made me want to karate chop her, but I looked at her and I said, oh, you watch it. It'll be done. And you know what? I stayed up till 3 or 4 in the morning, but I got it all done. And they came in the door around 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. And I was laying on the couch waiting for him to get there. But man, you say it can't be done. I'm going to prove it can. Now you turn that over into your relationship with God when he tells you, this is my plan. This is what I want you to do. Or he gives you vision and causes you to see purpose and destiny. And just because it hasn't been happening, just because it seems like it's not, that will make me so mad. No. Oh, yes, it is happening. And that's when I'll rise up and start doing things different, saying things and declaring things and praying out things, act out on something, do something. Because if God said it was his plan and his will, then you've got the goods to step up and cause it to happen. Quit looking around trying to figure out, well, it's because of them and it's because of this region or it's because of this area or it's because of my family and my upbringing. Just stop it. With all the excuses, the last time I looked in the book, your inheritance has changed. And are you with me, guys? So we're supposed to be living out of our walk in our relationship with him. And when we're really, truly spending time with him and fellowshipping with him, life is easy. I've said this for years, even to the students there on campus. When you're staying vertical and you're living out of your relationship with God, it's hard to get out of the will of God. Let that sink for a second. When you're staying vertical and you're spending time with him and you're fellowshipping with him through the word and just living out of your relationship with him, it is hard to get out of the will of God. It's hard. Because you're staying vertical. I mean, when God began to deal with my husband and I to pastor, are you kidding? We're itinerants. We like to pop into a church and explode and pop back out and go home and have a 4-day weekend, glory to God. You know? And then when God said to pastor, well, he knew how to get our attention. I'm in prayer. I'm praying with healing school technicians there on campus. We had a wonderful time in prayer, praying for the body of Christ. And then I walked out of the room so that healing school could begin, and I had to go teach a class. And I walked out of the auditorium of the Prayer and Healing Center, and the Spirit of God said to me, you know what church you were praying for? And I said, yeah, the body of Christ. He said, you want to know what church you were praying for? And he said, you're praying for your church. I go, oh, I rebuke that right now in the name of Jesus. How many of you have rebuked God before? You know, bless his heart, what he has to put up with, you know? I remember I walked back and I sat down in my office and shut my door, of course, but sat down at my desk and just began to cry a little bit because, see, I've stayed vertical so much that when he began to change something in our ministry or in our lives, I heard him. My flesh didn't want to hear it, so I rebuked him. And when I sat down in my chair in my office, tears began to stream down my face because here I am, the little Pentecostal holiness chick. Consecration is the way to go. Nothing but the will of God. Yes, Lord, yes. I rebuke that. But what did I do? Immediately, Father, forgive me. I know that was your voice. I know your voice. Are you serious? Serious. I had to go teach a class. Had to do all the duties that I do. Went and taught prayer school. Did all of my things. And then got home that evening. I sat in a chair in my living room right beside Jerry. We got our 2 comfy chairs. You know, we were watching something on TV and I paused it. And I looked at him and I said, hun, guess what I heard today? And I told him. He goes, oh no. I go, I know. Click. Turn the TV back on, because I'm in denial. And then I paused it again. And I looked at him. I said, hun, I'll tell you this. I said, if we ever did pastor a church, we would explode into a city with at least 25 people, and it'd be on the outskirts of a big city with an international airport, and it will be a church that will have the move of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Everybody from the parking lot attendant to every children teacher to every youth, to everybody's going to know who they are in Christ. And they're going to live it in the church, but they're going to live it in their neighborhoods. They're going to live it in their workplace. We're going to live because greater works than what Jesus did, we're going to do, and we're going to live this blah, blah, blah. And I just kept telling him all this stuff. Little did I know I was prophesying, but I was speaking it to him, and he goes, yep, that's how we would do it, but we're not going to do it. I go, yep, click. Started watching TV again. And but then God began to keep stirring, because, see, we're in the will of God. We're in the will of God. I didn't even talk to him for a while about it, because I didn't want to hear about it. I mean, if you don't want to talk to somebody about something, you know, a subject you don't want to talk about, you'll avoid it. Am I right? You'll avoid it like the plague. So I avoided it fully like a plague and was just like, no, I just don't want to hear it, even though I'm saying, yes, Lord, yes, but I don't want to hear it. In prayer school, oh, Father, we just thank you that we're doing your will, praying with the students, and here I'm going, don't talk to me about that. But the more I kept going vertical, the more he kept getting my attention. It's hard to get out of the will of God when you're staying in his presence. We're living out of him, functioning out of our heart with him, learning, as Annie has said, learning how to be a good spirit. It's about relationship. That's God. He created Adam and Eve. Why? Because he wanted fellowship, right? And so doesn't the enemy know how to come in and play with our soul and make us get out of our thoughts in the word concerning relationship with God? Guys, I mean, how many of you, some of your, maybe your mom and dad's in heaven now, but can you still know, remember what their voice sounded like? Yeah. I remember what my dad's voice sounds like, my mom's voice sounds like. Oh, yeah, I know. If my mother would have ever called me and I would have said, who are you? She would have got me. Think about it. I'm her baby. Bless God's heart, what he's got to deal with. He even said, my sheep hear my voice and no other voice will they follow. But we'll be like, no, I'm dumber than dumb. I don't know nothing. And then you have over in 1 John, I've got an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things. Guys, your spirit has got such a supply in it, and he's called the Holy Spirit. You've been joined to him, and you fellowship. I like what Andrew Womack said one time. He said, you know, why? He goes, why do you think we bow our heads? Because he's right there. You know, we know that the Father's on the throne and Jesus at the right hand, but he goes, he's right there, you know, and he would laugh about it, but it was like, you know, that's so true. He's right there. He's in us. How many of you have heard the Spirit of God speak to you in a really wild time or in a situation where all chaos is breaking out everywhere around you, but you are honed in and you're listening? I remember when I was a student, I was going home for the holidays, and there was snow everywhere in a connecting flight. Most flights had been canceled. Only a few were going out, and I had went up to make sure that my seat was still okay and blah, 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 and it was. And then all these things come across, and I'm sitting there in faith. All these people are aggravated. They're mad. Blah, 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 blah. I'm sitting there going, Father, I thank you that I am on this flight in Jesus' name. I thank you. you that I am getting on this flight in Jesus' name. Glory to God. I just thank you for it, Father. And I'm resting in you. I'm in peace in you because I am on this flight. This flight is taking off, and this plane is going to be able to take off and land without any issues. And I just prayed, you know, and I just sat there in peace and just rejoiced. And I thank God. When my soul would try to get a little squirrely because I'd hear the conversations around me, I'd bring it right back in to the secret place, this place in God. Guess who got on a flight? Guess who didn't get on flights? But I got on that flight. Why? Because I chose to stay in my heart and not be moved by the circumstances and everything that was going on around. I even had lost my seat at one point. Actually, I'll be honest with you, I was sitting there so long and got involved with something. I think I was reading or something, and I didn't even hear that they were boarding, and they were getting ready to shut the doors. And all of a sudden, I just had a knowing, and I looked up. I was like 19. I looked up, and they said, final boarding, doors are getting ready to close, and I'm like, what? And I jumped up. Got on the flight without a problem, you know, but it's all about living right here. He'll even alert you, wake you up in the midst of things. How many of you are thankful that he's in you?
So thankful.
Ah, we're aware of him. He's in us. We don't need to make things hard. It's easy. It's easy to hear him. If he's called you, you're equipped and you can do what he's called you to do. And you just need to just fellowship and spend time in him and maybe quit watching the crazy stuff on TV that you're watching that's not edifying you. Maybe quit talking to the people that are constantly trying to dog you. But what if it's my spouse or what if it's somebody in my family? Well, then you get to choose what words in God that you say to them so that you don't begin to eat all that they're saying. You know, what are you doing in your thought life? You know, bring your thoughts into captivity and live out of your relationship with God. We are spirit beings made in God's image and in his likeness, and we're to be operating in him, living and moving, having our being in him. And we need to quit talking in the future that's going to be, but right now. But I don't feel like that right now. No, you start speaking like it's right now. Right now, I'm living in him right now because you are. It's your head that tries to make it be otherwise. Your spirit is alive unto God, and you are a spirit first. Look what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I pray, God, that your whole spirit, soul, body, he broke us down into a three-part being, and he called us a spirit first. I wonder why. Could it be because our creator, our father, is a spirit in John 4:24? Yeah. Because he's a spirit and he made us like him, made us in his image. That's what Genesis says. So we're spirit beings. So being a spirit should be the easiest thing for us. It's easy.
Yes.
We need to change our mentality. We need to start thinking that way and talking that way. You can change the way you talk because you have control over your mouth. And if you're not speaking enough, you need to just quit pondering and thinking and meditating on and being silent. You need to speak. Yeah. Yeah. You know how you are at home. You know your routines. And if your routine isn't working for you, maybe you should change it. If it's not causing you to go deeper and further in him, to experience more of who he is. Yeah, I listen to certain ministers all the time. Every morning I listen to the word. I'm listening, fellowshipping. I worship God. I talk to him. I pray in the spirit. Because what is that? That's my relationship. If I never spoke to my husband, we'd have a bad marriage, right? If you have a friendship, if you're not communicating, if you're not spending time, then it's not going to be a good relationship. You've got a fellowship. You've got to communicate. Communication is everything. I want to know my heart, my father's heart. Before I got married, I looked at my husband and I told him, I said, well, my fiance at the time, I said, I will always love God more than you. And he said, good, because I will too. Are you with me?
Yes.
He should be our everything, our life, our song. And so turn in your Bible with me to Romans chapter 8 real quick. How many of you believe that the realm of the Spirit is a real place? Glory to God. And we have access to this. We have got dynamic power on the inside of us, the Spirit of the living God who is leading us, teaching us, showing us things to come. I don't have to worry about nothing because I dwell in him. I live my life in him. I've been called by him. I'm going to walk in him. See, I'm not going to think opposite. When I think about this mandate that God has placed upon my husband and I, my flesh, if I allowed it, would get freaked out a little bit because it is so much larger than who we are naturally. But when I look to him, God, I don't know how many times that I would pray and God would show me the building. He would show me the people. He would show me the outreaches. He would show us things about the church. And then he would show, I remember one time seeing the church and I saw people lined up outside and I saw the glory of God all in the building. And it came about through a time of prayer is how I even saw it. I'm praying in our living room there in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Didn't even know where the church was going to be located yet because God said, I'm not telling you yet because you get your head wrapped around it. And so we're there in the living room praying with a few people. And as we're praying, all of a sudden, I began to speak in tongues. Then a word came out in English. And I'm praying in tongues and Azusa came out. And I thought to myself, did I just say Azusa? And I went back to praying in tongues and I said it again. When I said it again, I was in this big church. And all of a sudden, the glory had filled the place. And he began to speak to my heart as I was praying. He said, my glory is going to be manifested in the church all the time because it's my church. It's not your church. It's my church. And it's a supernatural church. And he began to speak to us like that, to where it's like now the vision has become so big on the inside of me so that when my flesh or my soul or my mind wants to think contrary to what I know that God has spoken, all I do is go back to my secret place. And when I get back into my secret place, my time of fellowship with him, I'll see it again. Because this is a little nugget of truth. Once you've been somewhere in the spirit, you can always go there again. Does that make sense? Once you've been someplace, like in prayer, I've been someplace in prayer, I can go there again. There are places in prayer that I know Jim and I would go to, and it got to the place to where we, you know, the first time we'd pray and all of a sudden, what is that? Where are we? What's going on? And we were seeing things and God was showing us things. But then we would pray there so often that I can just even think about it and I'm in a room in heaven where we'd pray from all the time. I can see it. It's as plain as day. Now, for some people, that would flake them out because you can't, you know, you just got to stay in your relationship with God. But in my Father's house are many mansions. Another translation, in my Father's house are many rooms. There are places in God that we can go into, and it's easy. I don't have to push to try to get somewhere. Mm-hmm. I remember some of my first times of seeing into the realm of the Spirit. I thought that I was making it up. I was praying with a group of people there on campus, and we were praying, and one of the, he was the head of the Prayer and Healing Center at the time, Doug Jones, an instructor there at the school, and we were praying in his office because the lady that was over prayer at the time had asked him if we could pray in his office. And he was like, yes, I wish you would. So a group of us were in there praying. And I had just moved back from being a youth pastor. And this was, I don't know, probably 91, 92 or so. And we're in there and we're praying. And as we're praying, all of a sudden, I mean, it was like the moment I got down on my knees and began to pray, I saw clouds and I saw moving, like they were moving like a thunderstorm, and they were, whew, and they were just moving and moving. And in my heart, I didn't know it was a spirit of knowing, but in my heart, which I thought was my head at the time, I just thought, well, I think that's the movings of God, but who am I to think that? I don't know what that is. Is that you, God? I don't know. And then I didn't pause enough to listen and get down into my heart and listen, because I didn't know fully how to do that yet. But I just knew that there were movings of God. And in my head, I was like, I think we're in heaven. I think we're in heaven. And Kathy, who was in charge of the prayer program at the time there on campus, she goes, does anybody got anything? Well, I kept silent because I don't know if I do or not. I don't know what I'm seeing. I think I could be Fruit Looping. And I don't know nothing. I'm dumb. I don't know nothing like this. And she asked again. And we just kept praying. After the prayer time, I went to her office and I sat down and I said, can I share something with you? Because I don't know if I'm right or wrong. And she said, yeah, what is it? I said, this is what I think I was seeing. I thought I was seeing clouds and there was movement in them. And I think I was in heaven, but I think it's just me. She goes, if you don't start speaking out what you're getting in prayer, I'm going to quit praying with you. Anybody that knows Kathy, she's a mama and she get in your face. And I was like, but I don't know. She goes, it was God, Leanne. Why would the devil reveal anything like that to you? I don't know. I'm a kid. I'm stupid. And you know, I pray with her another time. And you know what? She didn't pray with me for a while because I didn't pray out what I'd see because I thought it was me. How many times have we missed it because we get up in our head instead of living out of our heart? Living out of what the Spirit of God is speaking. But because I'm young, I'm dumb, I don't know, I'm not Jim Hockaday, I'm not Annie, I'm not Kevin, I'm not Aaron, I'm not Jerry, I'm not Pastor Greg, I'm not Pastor Ed, I don't know. Phyllis knows everything in the Spirit. I don't know anything. Oh, I'm just going to listen to them. And then what happens is you can stunt your growth. Because you get so caught up in idolizing other people in their own walks and relationship with God, instead of sitting on the edge of your seat saying, oh, if they're doing it, I can do it. Spirit of God told me years ago when I became his assistant, God said to me, stay on his coattails. So if Jim ever said, oh yeah, I'm going into this, on the inside, yeah, me too. Uh-huh. When there were times that we didn't want to pray, we were tired, we'd been out preaching two different places over the weekend, and he wanted to pray that following Monday about some things on campus. I didn't want to do it because when I came in on Monday morning, man, I was sleepy. My flight was late, everything, you know, and I'm just like, ugh. I buzzed him. I said, no, he buzzed me because I was hoping he'd forget. So he buzzed my office and he said, Leanne, he said, come on, let's pray. It's like 8:30 in the morning or so. I'm like, oh, Jim, why don't we wait till after prayer school? Because then that would have been after prayer school, after healing school would have been about, what, 3:30 or so? You know, we're more awake, we've had our day, and yeah, let's pray then. You know, and he's like, no. Now, Leanne, we said we'd pray when we get here on Monday morning, so come on in. Are you sure? Leanne. So I got up and I walked down the hallway, opened the door, and he looked more tired than I felt. I mean, he even had dark circles. I mean, he was just tired. And I said, are you sure? Why don't we just rest a little bit? We can pray after prayer school, healing school. And he goes, Leanne, sit down. I was like, I'm submissive though. And he starts praying. And we both started praying. And I'm like going, oh, I'm gonna go to sleep here. And then he starts saying, yeah, Lord, uh-huh, yeah, I hear you, yeah, that's right. Oh, yes. I opened my eyes and I looked at him. And he had one eye open looking over at me. And he kind of put his head back, started kind of laughing as he was praying. And I was like, you are faking it. You're not hearing God. And I thought, I knew he was doing it because he was using his faith. And I thought, well, if he's going to do it, I'm going to do it. And I go, yeah, God, yeah, I hear you. Yeah. Oh, and, you know, we faked it. And within a few seconds, we were so far over in the spirit that we had all of our prayer done. And within just like, I don't know, Jim, I think it was like about 5 minutes or so. I mean, it was just like we covered territory so fast in the spirit by the Holy Ghost that we both stopped praying in tongues exactly at the same time. And we both looked at each other. And I looked at him and I said, well, I'm done. Are you done? He goes, I'm done. And we both started laughing, saying, we're not ever going to pray any other way ever again. Because it is amazing how that when you just step over by faith and not yield to your soul, to your flesh, and you just yield to the Spirit of God, and sometimes you got to tell your flesh, you got to tell your body, you're going to have a good time in prayer. Why? Because you know the Spirit of God, and you're living out of your relationship with Him. You know Him, and your reality is God. Your reality is heaven. My full reality is not my flesh. It's not my soul. My full reality is God, Christ in me, the hope of glory, and I'm living out of Him. And if I'm supposed to pray early in the morning, then I'm going to get up with a smile, and I'm going to put my personality on, and I'm going to pray out of my heart to God. See, that's where I think we've missed it in yesteryear, if we can say it that way. Because we felt like we had to work ourselves up to it. Well, I've got to have 5 songs of worship. I've got to have at least 45 minutes of listening to God's presence in worship. And then maybe I can step over once I've walked through the blood and repented of everything I've ever thought of in life. And then I might be able to sense His presence. Are you with me, guys? That is all wrong thinking. It's demonic, in my opinion, because it's keeping us from living underneath the shadow of the Almighty, living out of a relationship with Him, and living from a place of seeing, hearing, knowing. And I've got an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things. Why? Because His Spirit lives in me, and I know Him. Bless God. See, you stay over in this other mentality. Oh, but look at them. They know God. I don't know if I'm ever going to get there. God knows how you think. And He's constantly trying to get you. That's why you're here, to get you, to get our minds to a place of renewal, of seeing ourselves and living out of our relationship with God. I don't know about you, but these last few services have been so enlightening because you've got faith. How many of you know you've got faith? If you know you've got it, say, I've got it. We've got faith. I'm not trying to get faith. I've got it. God lives in me. I just have to make this and this come in line. Mouth, what did you say? Mouth and heart. Heart and mouth in agreement. What do I believe? All of us in this room, hello. What is today? It's a Wednesday morning. You probably could have slept in. Some of you could have went and made money. But here you are. That means you love God. That means you want to learn more. You want to go deeper. You want to go further. Well, how do we do that? Well, if I read 500 more pages, if I speak this 500 more times, no. I'm just going to live right out of my relationship with God through the Word. I'm not going to live out of my relationship with God the way I think it's supposed to be. I'm going to live out of my relationship the way God speaks about our relationship. That's a key right there. Because your interpretation, depending upon your upbringing, Pentecostal folk in my day was all about, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm unworthy. They thought they had to, in my Pentecostal denomination, you had to go to the altar every service and repent of every sin you committed that week. Not every Pentecostal church was that way, but mine was. And you had to repent all the time. Repent, 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 instead of just living out of a relationship with God and walking in your life in faith. And yeah, no, we had to repent all the time. And so if you've got that kind of mentality, that will come over into your interpretation of your relationship with God and how you're supposed to move. That's why it's like, no, because you're going to think, I'm not worthy. I know there are people, there was a man that Jim and I would pray with and pray with and pray with and minister to, and heaven would come down. Whoo, heaven would come down into that man's home. And I mean, it would be wonderful. Jim and I would go get in the car and we'd be like, man, he got it. We got it. We got it. He's healed. He's healed. And I remember one time we weren't, but just halfway, we were on 71st Street, about halfway down. Jim looked at me. I glanced at him and I go, huh, he let it go. We knew it in the spirit because we were carrying him. And we knew the man dropped it again, dropped his healing, just dropped it. And we knew it. And in time began to realize why. Because he felt unworthy. He'd missed God in his past. He'd sinned, committed adultery, missed God. He couldn't forgive himself. His wife forgave him. God forgave him, but he couldn't forgive himself. And so he lived in an unworthy mentality. Therefore, he didn't take hold of what was his. He would for a while, but then his old thinking would grab hold of him. That mind of ours. That's why we've got to make our mind and our heart come into agreement what the word says. And if Jesus says that in him we live and move and have our being, then that's the case. I have my being in God. Look at somebody and say, you're in God. Do you believe that tonight or this morning? Listen to this in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Those who are motivated, and this is the passion, those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. Well, guess what? That last part is us. Amen? Don't identify with the first part. Identify with the second part. Look at somebody and tell them, identify with the second part. What's the second part say? But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. Yes. Glory to God. For the mindset of the flesh is death. But the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds what? Life and peace. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. For no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, how many of you have been empowered by Christ? Come on now. How many of us are empowered by him? Amen. It says, but when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Glory to God. Hun, will you bring me more water and a tissue? Excuse me for a minute. Glory to God. We are motivated by the Spirit of God, but when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit, glory to God. We are dominated by the Spirit. So while I'm taking a drink, look at somebody and say, I'm dominated by the Spirit. Glory to God. I'm dominated by God. I'm living and moving and having my being in Christ. I'm not controlled by the flesh nor the mind. I'm controlled by my spirit, where the Holy Spirit is, and I live my life in him. Amen? So let's read just a little bit further. Glory to God. Are you guys okay? But when the Spirit of Christ, in verse 9, empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And if you are not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you are not of him. Now, Christ lives his life in you, and even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sins, his life-giving Spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. How can it get any better than that? You are fully accepted by God. And yes, God raised Jesus to life, and since God's Spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same Spirit that breathes life into you. That right there alone is healing. Amen. Guys, so then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claims on us at all, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it, for when you live controlled by the flesh, you're about to die. But if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, we then taste his abundant life. How many of you are eating his abundant life? Amen? It says the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. But guys, look what it says. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. We are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. God lives in us. Glory to God. It's simple. It's easy to live our life in him. It's not hard. It's not hard to pray out of your relationship with God when you're speaking about your relationship with God the way God talks about you. Are you with me? What does he say? You know all things. That's what he says about you. You know it. Aha. Uh-huh. You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know all things in you, in him, in me. You live and move and have your being. Yeah, it's in me. You have abundant life, abundant life. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Everything you need. You hear my voice. You hear my voice. And no other voice are you going to follow. Then why are you thinking opposite? Well, I don't know the Holy Ghost. Well, didn't Jesus say you do know him? Are you with me? What are you saying about your relationship? And then when it comes to prayer, praying in the Holy Ghost about your future or about the church, about God's overall plan in the earth, do we go after it from, oh God, look at the politics. Oh God, look at this world. We're getting worse and worse. Oh God, are we ever going to get out of here? Oh God. And we go down these crazy paths. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. Who are you? Who are you? Are you with me? Who are you? You're the righteousness of God in Christ. You are God's mouthpiece in the earth. I believe it's time for us as his mouthpiece to stand up and live out of who we are in him and walk in the revelation of what we have in him out of this relationship with God and the awareness of him and the awareness of the realm of the Spirit and the power and the dominion and the authority that we rule and reign in because of what Jesus gave and what he did for us. We rule and reign, guys. You've got all power. You have all authority. That's who we're talking about. Well, I pray and it seems like nothing ever happens. Guys, we've all had failures in our prayer lives where we believed God for something and it didn't come to pass. Even Jim Hockaday, I'm sure, has had that happen.
Maybe.
Maybe. But guys, but what do we do when that happens? Blame God? That's what a lot of people do. No, we need to go, well, Father, I think you're going to reveal to me what I messed up in that. But I'm looking to you, and I know what you say. And I would begin to speak what he says about the situation. Get the word on what you're praying about and go after it. So with all that being said, I think we need to pray. I think we need to pray. I believe we need to. And I want to pray for the church. I want to pray for you guys. pray God's plan. You guys are praying, right? You guys are going after it in prayer. You're not just all about you, right? Because remember, as it is said, you take care of kingdom business. God will take care of your business. You need to make sure you're praying for your church and your pastors, lifting up the plan of God. Don't put your own interpretation of how things should be. Mm-mm. No, 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 no. I remember the first time that I went on the road with the Rhema Singers and Band. God had showed me back in, what year was it? 1985, that I would be with Brother Hagin in the end. I didn't know it was the end of his life, but I knew. I saw it in prayer. I saw it in a vision. And I'll never forget it. Man, I prayed it out, never told people, but just prayed it out. Left Rhema, graduated, went, but knew in my heart I was going to be with Brother Hagin in the end. I didn't know what it was all about. Knew I would be in the group and sing, but I didn't tell people. I was shy anyway, you know, but I didn't talk about it. It was too intimate. It was between me and God, and everybody that could sing and couldn't sing wanted to be in the Rhema Singers and Band and be with Brother Hagin, you know, and so I didn't, wasn't going to vocalize that, and I just didn't tell anybody. And but then God dealt with me and said, it's time to go back to Rhema. I went back to Rhema and just begin to volunteer and begin to help. But I still knew in my heart, and people would come to me. I'd even pray with some people there on campus and wouldn't even be praying about myself. And they would come over to me and say, Leanne, you're supposed to travel with Brother Hagin and the Rhema Singers and Band. I go, oh, you see that? And I had known it for years. But I know what I know. I want to know what they're hearing and knowing. And they would tell me, and they would whisper it like in reverence, like, oh, can't talk about it. And I was like, oh, well, you know. And I'd be like, yeah, like, so you do it? Yeah, yeah, I've known it for some time, but I'm not talking about it. God will make it come to pass. I'm just following him. But I'd pray it out, pray in the spirit about it, pray in tongues about it, prayed out different services with Dad Hagin and all, but yet never was asked to travel in the group. But then the hour came and I was asked, and I went on the road. And that first meeting, I was so excited because I was like, wow, it's happening. Oh, glory to God, it's come to pass after all these years. We went to Marilyn Hickey's church in Denver, Colorado. It was my first meeting to go with Brother Hagin. And dear God, it was absolutely nothing what I thought it was going to be like. It was work. I was carrying boxes. I was putting the faith library materials out. I was working, sweating like a dog. I'd been working with Jim, and we'd been doing all spiritual stuff on campus for years in prayer school and healing school. I was the prayer coordinator at Rhema. I had all these prayers under me, and I was over everything. I had people serving me, and so I was used to saying, yeah, go do this, go do that. Man, I'm a really good delegator, you know? Oh, yeah, you go do this, you do that, you don't know. And now I'm on the road, and here I am. I'm building muscles, and I'm carrying stuff, sweating like a pig. And I'm like, this is demonic. I hated it. I was just like, dear God. And I had total attitude. And I had such bad attitude that it came out of my mouth. And I even looked at Regina, who was one of the girls in the group. Said to her, they don't pay us enough money to do all this stuff. I was ugly. You talk about stinking. I smell. Good God Almighty. And oh, dear Lord. I remember I told Daryl in the group that used to play the bass. I told him, I go, Daryl, what in the world are we doing? Ugh. And he's like, girl, you better stop it. You better stop it. I go, because I hadn't done physical labor, and I was a brat in a long time. I remember I got back to my room because we had to get ready. We were getting ready to go do a service, and I sweated like a pig and was, ugh. I didn't want to go preach, pray, and prophesy and help the prophet do anything. You know? I got back to the room and I repented because I had a lot of garbage that came out of my mouth, and I had to go tell Regina, forgive me. I had to go tell Daryl, forgive me. It was my flesh was screaming. I gave in to it. Pride, ugliness. I was dumb. Forgive me. And of course, they started laughing. You know, we forgive you, Leanne. We've all went down that road. Just stop it. Just keep yourself, keep your heart in check. Keep your soul in check, you know. And I just asked God to forgive me and just got up on that platform, you know, and just like, praise the Lord, it was wonderful. But then walked off the platform and went right back to work again. And it was like, oh my gosh, but Father, why didn't you let me pray it out so I could have seen that I was going to be working like a dog, picking up books and boxes and stuff, you know? But see, because I had put my full-blown own interpretation upon everything that I had prayed, I thought it was going to be, oh, wonderful, helping the prophet. Oh. And it was like that some, but it was work. And if I'd stayed in my soul, I wouldn't have been able to flow or minister or do anything. But I had to live out of my heart and see what I'd seen in prayer. I was going to help him. I was there to help him. And I stayed in my God place. And I stayed in my relationship with God. And I lived out of that. And I was able to serve. And had wonderful times where he would call on me and want me to preach. And he'd get up and he'd prophesy after me. And I would just, times I had prayed out. Guys, you can pray out your tomorrow. You can pray out your future. You can pray out the next steps of the church like your pastors have been speaking and praying. We can pray out the plans of God. No matter how young you are, how old you are, you don't ever get finished. Run in the race that God set before you. Are you with me? So what is it that God would have us pray about today concerning this house? I think it's going to be some good prayer. We're going to pray out of our relationship with God. Can you do that with me? Are you guys excited at all? Yes. All right. Well, I'm going to ask that we get a little closer in proximity. Now, I know you love your pew. You've already got it warmed up. But if you could come down here and just sit all right here in the front, maybe we could pull these chairs up and we could sit up here in front of them. Are you guys okay with that? But I'd love our spouses to sit with us too. Should we just all sit on the front row? I want to be able to hear people. How shall we do it? Do you guys have any other chairs? Do you have three more chairs somewhere? Glory to God. We'll sing something, Robin.
I thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost. I thank you, Lord.
Oh, Father, we just come before you right now. We're so thankful that we're in fellowship with you, that we're in communion with you, that you've given us your Spirit to live on the inside of us and to reveal to us your heart, what you desire. We have an unction from you, the Holy One, and you know all things and you reveal it to us. God, you've revealed to us your Spirit, and we're so thankful for it. We're so thankful that when we pray in the Holy Ghost, yes, there's natural things that happens. It builds us up, it strengthens, it edifies us. We can worship you and magnify you, speaking in an unknown tongue. And we can pray out mysteries, the plans and the purposes that are ahead of us, what you desire for us to do. We can lay down those train tracks and pray in the Holy Ghost so that we have a place to run, to make the crooked way straight. Oh, make it plain, a highway for our God to be on. And we thank you, Father God, that as we pray in the Spirit, that we pray out your plan, your heart, your purpose. And it's easy. It's easy. We pray in tongues in faith. Our prayer language is real. You said that when we speak in an unknown tongue, we're speaking unto you. And oh, we're so glad we are. Oh, you understand us. You help us to articulate your heart. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, when we pray in an unknown tongue, it bridges the gap between the present life right now, this second that we're living in, into the future. So when I pray in tongues, I'm praying from this present place, but I'm bridging the gap between now and my tomorrow. I thank you, Father God, that it bridges the gap between the realm of the spirit and the realm of the unseen realm. That, Father, oh, it's easy. It's the vehicle. When I pray in tongues, it's the vehicle into the spirit. And the moment I begin to pray in tongues, I'm there. I'm there. Oh, I'm so glad I'm a spirit. We're so glad. If you're glad you're a spirit, just shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as a spirit, we just jump over and begin to pray for redeeming love, for the pastoral staff. We pray for your plans and your purposes. We yield ourselves to you, and here we are, Father. And the place of God, where the place of God is revealed, where revelation flows. Oh, from this platform, revelation. We declare revelation. Oh, the revelation of the word, revelation of the spirit. A greater depth in you. And the rays of God's good old rose door. And the glory of God. The rays of his glory. The rays of his light. Arise and grace day. Revelation of the light. Revelation light. Oh, darkness dispelled, light. state, ha, ha, ha.
Himself upon us and make it a case. It'll just be the Lord. It'll be the Lord. And my name Brostosto, and the natural Lord, mind says, how can it be? And the Lord says, watch and see. Today, for he knows how to pour himself out upon us in the most holy way to bring change and bring insight into the direction that's needed.
That's right.
Oh, he knows, he knows, he knows.
Oh, yes.
So we know, we know,
we know.
We know. And he sees, he sees, he sees. So so do we, so do we, so do we. Sabiris, Deboris, Dana, Karis, and Ida Kaistan. And Vashini de Vega, Lobota, Beliga, de Basta. It's just easier to go along for the ride and let the Holy Ghost just take us where he needs to take us. So, but in the
Canada,
there's still something else to say.
Yeah,
still something else to say.
This way to see the sign.
find all day.
Oh, oh.
Find all.
Say that freedom out of freeze at teen divine. Heart bowed before him right now. Listen, because there's some prayer assignments that are being given out right now. Uh-huh. For this place, for this region, for this state. Uh-huh. Some have been carrying certain things in prayer, and now the Spirit of God is saying, I want to bring you over here to pray out some other things. Assignments by the Spirit are given. Segona is a tangerovo stondo. Yeah. And it and there's a pasadero day. There's a passing, imparting, a passing, a giving of things. Maybe you're here right now. Let's just bow our heads for just a second. We're not finished, but we're almost close to an end, but not yet. But while we've been talking through this week and even today, even the prayer time that we're in right now, you sensed, I know there's an assignment in prayer that I'm supposed to pray. And that did something to your heart when you heard that. Stand up. Did it do anything to anyone? Yes? Anybody else? Yeah. 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 You just sensed, I think there is assignment there. There's something I'm supposed to carry. There's something different I'm supposed to be praying about. Okay, you three, come down here. Come down here. We're just going to impart some things and pray over you. Uh-huh. Yeah, let's just line up here. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, if you're thinking you're supposed to, go ahead, but then I'm going to put a stop to the line. All right? If you think you're supposed to, just come down here. Hurry up. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because once we start praying, yeah, yeah. Because specific assignments, yeah. Do you guys want to help me pray? Do you sense you need to? I would love for you to if you got it. Do you want to? Aha. Aha, ah, whoo, whoo, whoo. Yeah, yeah. Ezugunone, and you decide la braste, it'd be like you're speaking different. This diverse kinds of tongues. Oh, stoop. Yeah, esabrande, ya debududuvaste, and a whole door. A chose. Yeah, is the best door. It's the best way. It's the best way. Oh, to pray.
Pray.
Zachru swoost. Yeah. In Christ. In Christ. Yeah. Assignments. Assignments. See, there's an action on this. Bold. Be bold. Be bold in prayer. Be bold in prayer. Ha 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 ha. Ha ha ha. Yeah. And when you guys get up, you just act like you pray different. You act like you're different. You act like you've stepped over into a new place because you have. Yeah.
Assignments in prayer are like pieces in a puzzle.
Thank
that
you
just do your piece, and as the puzzle pieces come together, and he's the master builder, as these pieces come together, then the whole plan is revealed. But not one person has the whole plan,
right?
Not one person gets the whole thing. As long as we stay in our lane, so to speak, and stay with our assignment, you might just be praying one aspect of something and think, well, I'm not covering everything. You don't need to. You need to do your assignment. You have got your piece of the puzzle. God sees to it that it fits in everybody. Every joint supplies.
Every joint.
Amen. And then while we were praying, I saw in governments and in the state and how this being the forward fire base in this area and the influence and the authority in the spirit that this house carries, that there will be, just as it was in the Old Testament when the evil king thought there was a mole in his organization, the thought that somebody was leaking information to the children of Israel, but it was because there was a prophet who saw and heard what was said in the bedchambers.
Yeah.
And it was because supernaturally God was revealing to thwart the plan of the enemy. And so instead of complaining about what's happening in the nation or what's happening in your state or what's happening in the metropolitan area here and thinking everything's just going to, you know, where, instead of that, when you pray out your assignment and you let the Holy Spirit use you as the forward fire base to launch from here God's plan and to also thwart the plan of the enemy. Amen. There will be things so confusing to them that they keep trying to do some stuff and they can't get it done because there's a leak.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
And because we're taking our place, you're taking your place in the authority that's here. Praise God. And the light will get brighter and brighter and brighter. Amen. I was reminded of a word that Brother Hagin spoke many years ago. And I believe it's pertinent to where we are and what he's been showing us in these last few days. He said, but hearts must be prepared, minds must be renewed, spirits must come into subjection to the Father of spirits, and to know what his will is in many cases and in many areas. Learn to be sensitive, your spirit sensitive unto his spirit. Learn to communicate with him in the spirit, not only to communicate with him supernaturally in other tongues as the Spirit of God will give you utterance, but learn also that you can communicate with him by the supernatural utterance of prophecy, speaking supernaturally in your own language, not out of your head, but out of your spirit. Get your tongue hooked up to your spirit, for your spirit knows things that your head does not know. And so praying out of your spirit, both in tongues and by the gift of prophecy, you will be able to speak supernaturally to know what you're praying about, and you'll see it come to pass. For the Lord is on the giving hand. Yes, he has not said it and forgotten it, but he wants you to know, for your faith will not work without you knowing. That's the reason he said, put me in remembrance. Speak it out yourself, for you see, you're down here in the realm of the earth, and down here, you're the one that has authority and not God. And so you speak it out, and by you speaking it out, then you create it. For faith's confessions create reality.
Amen.
And so he needs our mouth on the earth. Amen. So spirit-inspired prayers, whether in tongues or by the gift of prophecy. Amen. Doesn't mean you have to prophesy to a group of people. But by the gift of prophecy, you're speaking his will into the earth. speaking his plan into the earth, and also then your mind understands it if you're speaking with your own language, but from your heart, from your spirit hooked up with him, you'll begin to prophesy some things. Amen. And then our faith, spirit of faith on the inside of us, that's him, hooked up with our faith, inspiring our faith, then creates things here on the earth. Glory to God. Instead of complaining, we're creating.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We're creating, letting his will be created on the earth.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the anointing seems to be most strong in these meetings upon what you would call a call to arms. Kevin started that on Sunday morning, talking about prophetically what this ministry was called to. And I know, Aaron leaned to me and I was thinking the same thing and said, there's all kinds of angels all over this place. And the last few days, we didn't necessarily sense that at all. The last couple of days with the last, four services. But the last, four services or four or five services have been the equipment given to you. The understanding of faith and the position of our relationship and all that's been said in the last few days to actually, in my opinion, give the nuts and bolts to your assignment so that you'll be steadfast and you'll be led by the Spirit and you'll have understanding through the Word. And now again, we turn back to the assignment, which has to do with Redeeming Love Christian Center. And I just turned to her and I said, the angels are here again. She goes, I know, I already sent them out. So see, the anointing is on what's taking place right here, right now. These assignments. We're going to continue that tonight. I believe there'll be great impartations taking place tonight for the assignments that are necessary to carry through the plan of God in the earth right now. You know, I love when I do and I don't, okay? I'll rephrase that, what I'm getting ready to say. It's kind of one of those oxymorons. I love hate relationship with it. I don't like it when something's so big beyond me that I can't control it. But at the same time, I love it when it's like that because I can't control it. So the more you learn to actually enjoy not knowing, not being in control, feeling overwhelmed, knowing only God can do what has to be done here, and if he's actually going to use me, then I'll give him all of my life, but he's going to have to do something. You know, Leanne made a comment earlier. She said in those beginning days, we just didn't know what we were doing, and I wanted to shout out and say, yeah, it was like that in the end, too. I mean, it was constantly. We just didn't know, but we got to the point where we actually enjoyed not knowing. It was kind of like weird. But it was thrilling to come out of a service every single time going, wow. And people would go, that was so good. And we're like, I know, but it didn't have anything to do with us. And the call to arms, we are being called up. Amen. And the only way this place will fill up and be the beacon of light in this city. Isn't it interesting how many people are leaving New York? Things that are happening. Listen, forget about red and blue right now, even though last night was what it was. There's a lot of evil that's in the earth today. And it's all red and blue. Really. And so if we can't see that to get rid of our sides, and realize there's a lot of corruption and it's coming to the head. It's like Satan doesn't even care if he sticks his ugly face right in yours and says, it's me. I'm not even trying to hide it anymore. And people are leaving New York like crazy. People are leaving California. People are leaving states left and right. We've got a job to do. And there's a beacon of light right here in this church. But I believe the anointing seems to be bringing us right back, the Spirit bringing us right back to a call to arms. And tonight we're just going to go that direction. you believe with us, there'll be more prayer, there'll be more ministry, there'll be more impartations. But God wants you good and saturated and things imparted unto you that no matter how you feel about your quote-unquote little part, all those little parts will come together and become a bright light. Amen. So I thank God we're on the right path. Yeah. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Well,
come on, let's all stand to our feet. Yeah. Glory to God. Father, we love you and thank you that you're calling us out. We're not only, Lord God, listening, but we're ready to shine.